Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to effect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. Alrighty, we are back with another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Welcome, everybody. I am your... Oh, geez. Okay, I didn't even notice that. Oh, this is the problem with having two screens and being completely oblivious because we're sick today. But that was good. That was good. And I'm with my little apple cinnamon dainty tea.
It's been a Monday already.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me about it. And we're going to get into that. What's that bottle, by the way? Well, let's see that bottle.
That is actually so I brought it into the office for somebody. It's actually at the office. It's a Weller original wheated bourbon, but it's the antique 107 version, so it's a limited version they did. Rather fantastic. It's one of those, unfortunately, that hit the market at a sensible price and then everybody went woohoo, and it went ka-ching. One of the good colleagues here was hunting for a bottle, and I'm like, I might know where to find some. So called in a favor and hey presto, a bottle of rice.
I mean, a cup of that wouldn't hurt me right now, getting rid of all this stuff.
You know, it's the hot toddy, isn't it? It's the, what is it, that lemon juice and sugar, I think, are the two, like the three key ingredients for a hot toddy, if I remember. Somebody might actually have to tell me if I'm missing something. But there are definitely, there's been a few times. I wouldn't typically use that because that's a pretty decent bottle or something. But yeah, there's some good stuff out there you can just chuck in and heat up and off you go.
Amazing. Awesome. Okay, so it looks like we have some really good people in the house. Welcome, everybody. You all know the drill. For those of you who have been on the show regularly or who have been on a couple times at least, Chris and I are breaking down the worst of the worst marketing and sales messages in cybersecurity. And we're going to flip the script, give you the alternative of the better version of what that should be so that you can engage CISOs and security buyers more efficiently. For those who are new on the call today, please do prep your questions. Actually, for those veterans as well, please do prep your questions. We will answer them on the call live. We'll bring you on if you would like to come on and talk to us, if you are brave enough, or we could just address those, Chris and I, ourselves. Let's get into it, Chris. First of all, how are you doing?
Good. Not too bad. Not too bad. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. Yeah, because we didn't say for 2 weeks. You mean crazy couple of weeks? Mm-hmm. Kitchen is in still disarray, but it's less disarray than it was. Start with the easy one. Mm-hmm. Windows got replaced last week. Siding starts today. The new horse trailer arrived. Spread a couple of hundred tons of gravel and stuff around the property. Yeah, it's been one of those. And then work's been interesting. Last Friday before last, about a week and a bit ago, we had one of those crazy couple of days when just people lost their brains. People were sending shit that they shouldn't send over email. People were trying to find stuff. It was just like, hey, which bit of awareness and data and integrity and stuff have you forgotten? And like, is Mercury in retrograde, for crying out loud? But it's good. Let's see. I actually had to go shopping yesterday and Saturday for new shirts because my stuff is hanging off me like a 10. I'm down like 40, just over 40 pounds, like 40, 42 pounds.
Good job.
Since, beginning of January.
Nice. I am the opposite.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, but you got, I mean, normally my stress is I go up, but apparently stress isn't crap at the moment. I'm just heading in the downward direction.
Well, good on you. Feel good and bravo on the loss there.
Had to get new kilts. Oh,
so, we should do a WTF kilt or something like that. Like all the colors.
Oh my gosh. Red. I was at a school thing the other day with like Amber and a whole bunch of other just amazing Erica. Oh my God, that's so much freaking fun.
Yeah.
We end up talking about getting t-shirts, ADHD squirrels, just.
We'll talk merch.
We need to shout out to April.
Yes.
Apparently, she persuaded the Dursak team, who have their Monday morning sales meeting at 9 o'clock, to move the damn thing. So, huge kudos to Amber and the team over there, and welcome to them. And hopefully, we can impart some useful information while we're hanging out here for the next, what, 44 minutes or so.
Good deal. Good on April. Thank you, April. You rock. I spoke to April 2 weeks ago, I think. It was around 2 weeks ago. Really great girl. Okay, we have lots to cover today, and I put a post out last week. The reason also why I'm sick is because of this type of outreach. Name calling, and it was not one email that I got to the WTF inbox. It was a few, and it makes me very unhappy and physically ill. So, shall we dig in?
Yeah, let's go for it. I got the good one. Well, actually, no, because you got some as well, didn't you? I got the one which I ended up doing a LinkedIn post on this one. And it was an inbound email. And it was from somebody, somebody I hadn't known before, somebody I've not seen before. To give them some credit, you know, hey, Chris, I noticed the boom is breaking some aeronautical boundaries and growing pretty fast. Okay, yeah, great, congrats. I'd imagine, here we go. You're not going to tell me my job. The boom has a good amount of sensitive files regarding IP, vendor supplier relationships, employee PIA, FAA clearance, etc., living as a historical repository. Okay, you know what? To give them credit, some fair points. You know, at least did a little bit of research on this one. Are you all set with locking that stuff down in a way that your users can work efficiently? Actually, yeah, we're pretty not too bad, actually. Company is essentially a single cloud repository that integrates with your tech stack in a way that makes it both easy and super secure for employees and workstations from. And this is where it gets even worse. Lockheed Martin, for example, replaced SharePoint with insert company for security and adoptability reasons. So now my heckles are up for like about 6 or 7 reasons we'll get into in a minute. Is this relevant? I'll probably hit up Charles about this too, but I know you guys know what you're doing. Have a great weekend. So now not only are my heckles up, but now my defenses are up. So you've got me pissed. Now you've also got me in a defensive mode. And then, you know, so I saw this one and I didn't go off the deep end, as Danny knows. And for those listening, so for those on the sales listening, that first sentence actually wasn't bad. It sounded like they did some research. It sounded like they looked at the company. It sounded like they actually had a look at things. So sentence number one, I noticed the boom is doing all sorts of weird shit and you've probably got lots of data. Totally acceptable. Actually not bad at all. And then when you turn around and say, now you hit me with a problem statement, are you all set? Well, first and foremost, if you'd actually read anything about me, you know the first inbound email isn't a fucking sales email. Neither typically is the second or third email. That's where we start off with a nice cup of tea. We sit down and we talk and we discuss and we have conversations. You don't hit me up with a sales email on number one. Then you start the selling, which is like, hey, we're wonderful and we're splendid. And then you double down and shoot yourself in one foot by naming another client. That's bullshit. And any company that does that needs to be taken out, hung, drawn, and quartered, and the squishy bits that are left should be put on the front lawn as a warning to everybody else. You never, ever name drop companies. I don't care who the hell you are. I don't care how good you think you are. Even if the company's maybe given you permission, but you sure as hell don't name drop. That's bullshit. And then, just to add a little bit of insult to injury, you're like, well, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to go talk to Charles anyway. And I'm like, you asshole. You fucking asshole. Those were not the best ways to introduce yourself. So, as Danny is aware, I retorted. And I retorted relatively bluntly because, you know, I don't know. As you know,
that's what my wife does when she needs something from me. Hey, woman. Just kidding.
Well, this is, the podcast and people are yelling in the other. I'm like, stick it down a level. I'm on a live podcast, people. Yeah. You want to come and join the podcast? New person? Come join the podcast. Come on. There's only a live audience.
Is it the person with the cool hair?
No. Tara is actually helping them. Tara's also.
Got you.
Yeah. So I retorted. And I was a little bluntish, let's just put it. I wasn't too blunt. I was a little blunt. And I'm like, oh, so spam me and spam my CIO if I don't respond. Not too sure that's a great idea. And then I sent it to Danny. I'm like, Danny, one for the podcast. If you don't respond, I'll spam your CIO. To which I got called a jerk. Yay! and yes, he did apparently reach out to Charles as well, because Charles hit me up. He's like, yeah, because I blind copy Charles on my responses for that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. And Charles is just like, oh, for crying out loud, you really had to deal with this.
What was the actual verbatim line?
Oh, look up the definition of spam jerk.
There you go.
Yeah.
This is why Danny's ill today. Okay, and that was what came after was a series of also emails, articles from other folks and friends in the industry being called names, asshole, yeah, white privileged man, all this kind of stuff that's just like, really, really, loser. I'm just like,
yeah. I mean, I'm used to seeing. Like, I've had a couple of LinkedIn ones where, or not even just LinkedIn, I've had a couple of emails on LinkedIn where I've like copied and pasted my dear vendor, because I have those two dear vendor letters.
Right.
I've got the one which is slightly longer and a little bit more engaging. And then I've got mm-hmm. the second dear vendor letter, which, by the way, for anybody who's listening, I am happy to share my dear vendor letters. So the second dear vendor letter is a little bit shorter. Now, I've had a few of those have been returned with like a, you know, a bit of a WTF or a to hell with you and stuff like that. I've also had one where they didn't even read the fucking thing, and they just sent me the next version of that. You know, it was like, yep, auto reply. Woohoo, we got a reply. We're going to send them the next thing. Mm-hmm. To which I responded, I'm like, did y'all even actually read? And they just got no. And I'm like, and you have just been blocked. I just can't be asked to deal with you.
All right. Well, before we hopped on this call again, for those who have been with us for some time, you know that Chris and I have our little mini prep call before we hit record or hit live. We talked about rating all eating. Yes, eating is good. We talked about bon appetit. We talked about rating these, which I think could be mm-hmm. very interesting. Rating them on a blended matrix that we have to build, Chris. Yes,
mm-hmm.
a matrix.
We
got to
build it. We need
pain
to. This is
and anger.
To mm-hmm. So I'm going to bring.
Shall we bring it up?
Yeah, let's. Oh, what in hell's name?
This won't
it?
Be the final, though. We're working from something that's existing.
Mm-hmm.
We will create our own little mini version.
Up. All right. Hopefully, people can see. I have no clue if people can see it.
Yeah,
somebody
let's
tell
bring
me
it
if
up.
They can see the down.
Here we
thing.
Go.
There we go. So it's the one on the left, typically, that we're looking at. And there's two different ones I want to share. The one on the left is like an improved pain scale. And I think the logic for this one is, we all have a reaction to these. Yeah, the reward ceremony. Actually, I love that freaking idea. Hold that thought, because I've actually got a better, as good an idea.
You
as
talked
that
about for 3D printing them, right?
Yeah. Actually, what I want to do, we can see it. Brilliant. Thank you, Maria. What I want to do is start ranking. And I want to rank for a couple of different reasons. I think because people need to understand how they are perceived. People need to understand how their inputs are perceived, what's going on, what's happening, and everything else. So this one on the left goes from, yeah, you know, can't be bothered with it, all the way through to, you just drove me. I'm off the edge, and I'm about to go get the bulldozer. You know, it's, and I love the morgue by a bear version. So there's that one, and I think if I'm going to actually stop screen sharing that one, I'm going to screen share the other one.
Okay.
Which is the anger scale. And I actually like this one, I think, as well. And this one's the, I think this one's probably more of the focal point, which is, if you look at an anger scale, because I mean, it does both. It's frustrating. It's annoying. It definitely sets you off wrong. And I had somebody, you know, I put the LinkedIn post out about the jerk.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, well, you know, just ignore it and consign it to the rubbish. And I'm like, no. Because if you don't say something, nothing changes. You know, this goes back to all sorts of things across all sorts of industries. you know, it's if you see it, you say something about it. Otherwise, just nothing happens. And there's a lot of people like, well, it's too much effort or nothing will change. I'm like, you keep going with those attitudes, but I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's frustrating. Yes, it's annoying. But at the same time, if we don't do something about it, absolutely nothing's going to change. Mm-hmm. So this whole anger scale thing, I kind of want to do it with a little bit of humor to it, but also keep some of this. Because if you look at this, you know, that let's just say the jerk one came in probably at a 7, 8, or a 9. Because, you know, you initially see it and you're like,
composed then for a 7, 8, or a 9. Your response was very composed for a 7, 8, or a 9.
Yeah.
And I know your responses. I felt them.
You do. It was one of those things where over time I've gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, is it worth going off the edge and off the deep end for this? And sometimes you think absolutely it is, and other times you're like, no, I just can't be asked. You're not worth the time. And it was very much, on this one in particular, this was very much a, you're not worth my time. Which is why I think when I sent him after the joke, when I sent a message back, and I'm like, I just signed off like, you know, have a peaceful day. But it was definitely like, hey, here's a piece of my mind in a civilized way. Because it was definitely, you know, I took it personally,
mm-hmm.
to some degree, but then I took a step back and I'm like, no, I'm not taking this one personally. I do take a lot of stuff personally, but I didn't take this one personally.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at my thoughts, it was definitely, there was a level of revenge. Now, what I did end up doing in this one in particular, and this again is another one of those comments and things for everybody that's listening. You send me an email along those lines, the chances are I'm not going to retort to you, but I'm going to go find your boss, or I'm going to go find your investors, and I'm going to have a conversation with them and ask them, hey, is this the message you are portraying? And I did exactly that. I hit up a couple of layers above them. I hit up their field CISO, and I hit up one of their investors. I also hit up the company that runs their entire investment team and went, hey, is this really what you want to see? And so my understanding is conversations were had and things occurred. I don't want somebody to lose their job, but what I want is somebody to go, hey, you probably don't want to do that to anybody, especially that large hairy asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do it to me, I don't want them to do it to anybody else. I don't want them to do it to somebody else who's sitting in like your role,
yep.
or who's sitting in a different role, who's had a shitty day and maybe can't take another email like that. So I like this one, the thoughts, feelings, actions, and all that mm-hmm. kind of good stuff. It's nice. But I also want to go back to the bear humor. I want to put some of that in there too. So it's a little bit of both. And then exactly to the points in there, what I actually want to do is start gathering these for different companies. And then I want to start grading the companies. And whether we make that public or not is a conversation to be had.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that just kind of reinforces the point that your people impact your brand reputation, and people talk, buyers talk. In the security community, it's very close knit, and you know, practitioners talk. You know, I was speaking to some folks about the other responses and emails and articles that I wrote. You know, some CEO of a startup wrote a full-fledged article on Reddit about this. Oh, you know, I think I shared that with you.
You shared that with me, yeah.
That's just, you know, distasteful. Come on.
It's, you know, it's distasteful. It's disrespectful. Yeah. It's again, it's another one of these things where, and I said to the individual, on LinkedIn, I was half and half. I called him by his first name, and I also called out the company in question.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's tough because, again, you got a bunch of people like, hey, call it out, call it out, call it out. And then there's the, I know, and I'm very fortunate in some ways, there are a lot of people on LinkedIn who look out for me, and I am ridiculously like grateful, honored, humbled, and all those other things because of it. But I also know if I put a name, a full name, and a company out there, it'll be pitchforks and torches, and I don't want that.
Yeah,
you know, and it's that balance. I want change. I want to affect change, and I can do some of this behind the scenes, when I make it public, I don't necessarily want to have to call a human out.
Yeah,
I'm okay calling some companies, and I think that's where like the end of year rewards, end of year awards would actually be useful. And it's tough because you want to call. I think it depends. If it's a continued behavior, I think at that point somebody needs to actually be called out, especially if they're going after. I mean, I'm big. I'm 6'3". I got pretty thick skin. If they're going after somebody who is more vulnerable in any way, shape, or form, at that point, then I have a problem with the whole thing.
Right. I mean, at any point, I mean, look, you know, sticks and stones, right? But at any point, has any kind of engagement gotten to you to a point where it's like it's impacted you, it's impacted your job, you know, it's kind of been an extra burden that you felt shifted something?
Yeah, I mean, and I'll call the company out. I mean, Tenable, Nessus Tenable, perfect example. We had so I'm part of the Tinkerers Group. I'm one of the founders of the Tinkerers Group, for crying out loud, which is a couple of hundred of us, all senior leadership, all senior whatevers. We get together a couple of times a year. We sit down, we hang out, we have a drinking thing, and I typically do the alcohol for it. So, like everybody sees me at Cyber Week and people see me at other conferences, I'm behind a table and I'm serving alcohol. Now, at the Tinkers Group, you're allowed to bring a plus one, and it could be somebody you're with, or it could be somebody at a company or somebody you know. A lot of those people don't necessarily know who I am, and I'm fine with that. It doesn't bother me. But when you treat me as if I'm simply bar staff and to be obeyed at all times, that's when I have a problem with the whole thing. And unfortunately, that happened with Tenable Nessus. It was one of their very, very senior individuals. We got into an altercation to a point where I was about 2 seconds from stabbing them in the throat.
Oof.
Yeah, and they got pulled away. And yeah, it's... And so I think it's one of those things. It's a reflection on the human. If you're going to treat somebody you don't know, especially somebody at a pretty closed event like that, how the hell do you treat other people? This is why, you know, when you do interviews, you know, whenever you do an interview for somebody, go take them out for tea, take them out for coffee, take them out for food. You get to see how they are with other people around. You get to see how they treat waitstaff. You get to see how they treat others. And I think that's a huge indication. So yeah, it's, you know, and there's a bunch of other ones. There's, you know, I'm looking at some of the other ones. And I think it's getting to the point now where, you know, I'm pretty blunt on my LinkedIn. It's like, hey, you want 5-10 minutes from me? You take 5-10 minutes to understand who your audience is. And if you can't be bothered to do that, chances of me paying attention, kind of about zero.
Yep. Well, I think all of us know what the alternative is. It's be fucking nice. It's like very simple. Don't call people names. First and foremost, research. We know, check up the LinkedIn profile. We know, don't use Chris or any other potential buyer as a stepping stone.
Just had one. Came in this morning.
Yeah. That's the big
one. Came in this morning.
We've had a bunch.
What day works next week to discuss how our advanced artificial intelligence solution was specifically built? I'm like, yeah, they just got the dear vendor letter.
We also need to do like a buzzword scale too. So also measure for buzzword too. Because we're going to do buzzword either at RSA or Black Hat. So
I had a buzzword bingo card for a while.
Yeah. There was the 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22 version.
We need to do another one. Yeah, we need to do a. We've got to do one for this year. I haven't done one yet for this year. It's been too busy.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that would be really helpful. Start measuring the frustration and pain scale, and then we could measure buzzword too. Got to see how to automate that. That could be interesting. A little tool to plug in.
I could talk with Charles. Charles built a pretty nice tool inside one of our internal tools to measure like the context of the conversation was actually fantastic. Ian measured whether it was very positive or very negative and stuff like that. So I might have to poke him and see if we can have a nice conversation about building something like that. I like that idea though.
Yeah. Yes, David, Don't Be a Jackass is right. That's probably going to be the name of this episode. Don't be a jackass. So we're ready for questions. If anybody has questions, we're happy to bring you on. Otherwise, we can continue with alternative or what do we want to unravel today? We had a lot of questions last week. I know we wanted to do this week as a an open-ended question one, but you know, with
We
the
did,
name
didn't
call with the name calling and all, we just couldn't resist. But
I
yeah.
mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's back to that. Ooh, I like that. I like that one.
All right, we
So
got
love and
one.
elaborate this. Yeah. Could you elaborate about why exactly you seem to be adversary on mentioning customers' names? All right. So let's take this slowly but surely. There's a part of me that has no problem with it. Absolutely no problem at all, because I think there are some companies that need to be called out. But my challenge with calling an individual out is there are a few factors. One, how were they trained? Secondly, they too might have been having a bad day and we just caught them at the wrong second. Thirdly, and probably more importantly, if somebody has a beef with me or if I have a beef with them, I want to be able to settle it without having 40,000 people charging in with their own views and opinions on the thing. The one thing I noticed, and I did it a while ago, I called somebody out a while ago and they actually ended up leaving LinkedIn and I felt ridiculously guilty for it. Was I justified in calling them out? Potentially at the time, yes, I could argue, but was I justified maybe long term in calling them out? I don't know. Good question. I don't know what the long term harm is. So individuals, I mean, with Lamont's, I had a conversation with him behind the scenes. Oh, Charles is on as well. Hello.
I was staying
Ironic,
quiet.
he's literally
I was
over there.
staying quiet. I was like, "Who? Who's up? Charles is in the house."
Oh, that's hilarious. That's awesome.
Hey,
So I
Charles.
think it's, yeah, as an individual, and actually, I'm going to use some of his conversation, which is, and Charles can correct me on this one, praise in public, you know, criticize in private or chastise in private. And I think that's one of those things where, you know, that LinkedIn post called out a first name, called out the company. You can do your own research. And actually, people did, and a couple of people posted it, actually deleted those posts. Now, calling out a company is a tough one. And here's two, there's a couple of reasons. One, at some point in time, I might actually need or want to actually do something with a company for all the stuff and love and hate I have for them. They might be a use for that company in the future. Secondly, somewhat bluntly as well, Danny is running a business. Her business is to try to help these companies. So by calling the company out and it's our sole adversarial issues, it doesn't really leave the door open for Danny to come in and go, hey, you dumbasses, you might want to watch audience first, learn from us, and maybe if you pick up some good pointers, I might actually be able to help you.
Correction,
So it's a
jackass.
balance. Yeah,
Correction,
it's a
jackass.
balance, Jackass. It's a balance. You know, on one hand, I just want to throttle half of them, let's be perfectly honest. On the other hand, you do want to give people a chance. And I think that's also the other part on me is there are times I will reach for the flamethrower first, which isn't always the best way of doing it. So let's just say it's a little bit of introspective reflection. Leonard, does that help? I'm interested to see if that was a
What about
useful.
though, within the actual email itself, name calling customers and name calling tech stack and name calling all that kind of stuff? Let's unravel that a little bit too. What's the issue with that?
I'm wait. Oh, in other words, somebody calling out another company. Oh God, that's terrible.
Why?
That's well, okay. Several reasons. One, let's face it, we work in security. The last thing you want to do is go, hey, I'm going to sell you the same product that these 10 other companies that I've worked with have, because now you've just given me exactly the insights on who to attack if I get bored and frustrated or I want to do anything. So you're giving away intelligence. Let's start with the easy one. Secondly, I don't know whether you've actually got the authorization to tell me about all those companies you've just got. You might have. They might have given you authorizations to actually put a press release out, but that doesn't mean you can go spray and pray them around every single freaking contact known to mankind. Not the smartest thing to do. Thirdly, in this industry, discretion is definitely the better part of valor. If you and I want to talk about company names, we do it under NDA, not on a public forum, and maybe while we're sitting over coffee and you say, hey, I'm allowed to use this name. These are some of the organizations we were working for, but you don't blast it out in a spray and pray tactics.
I think that covers all bases.
Yeah, well, especially, I mean, here's the other way of looking at it as well. If Boom signs up for product X, I sure as hell do not want to see my name in every, I mean, my name blasted across 1,000 different freaking emails. I mean, we make sure we got a team of lawyers that make sure that that doesn't occur, and then I've got the intel stuff behind the scenes that also make sure that that doesn't occur. So you know, it's I don't want to work with a company that as soon as I sign up, it's going to get the megaphone out and tell everybody else. There is an absolute lack of trust, an absolute lack of integrity. Yeah, no, not going to happen.
Great question from Maria.
Right.
How much of your research and vision creation as a buyer is already completed before you even engage with a vendor? That's a great question.
Ooh, yeah. At least 50%. At least 50%. Probably higher than that, to be perfectly honest. And perfect example. Let's talk about Maria. Let's talk about NewsBuyer. So, I know. You know, I when I came into Boom, it was, you know, it was clear that what we needed. It was clear we needed extra sets of eyes on systems and all this kind of good stuff. And quite honestly, we couldn't necessarily have all of that internally. Our job is to build airplanes, not to build network and security operation centers, let's be perfectly honest. So you sit there and you're like, okay, I need to do the research. I need to do the research on what kind of company I need, what type of organization I need, who is out there, who do I never want to deal with, who do I want to deal with, and you kind of go from there. NewsBuyer popped up, and I can't remember exactly how they popped up on the radar. It might have been Maria anyway that actually popped themselves up on the radar, or it might have been something else. I truly don't remember. But then, you know, you crawl through the website, you crawl through the systems, you look on who's talked to them and who's good. And Maria, I'll tell you, when we first had a conversation, one of the crew here had some found some pretty negative feedback on NewsBuyer, and it was all to do with just a couple of years ago some work that they'd done, and they'd corrected and course corrected a bunch of other things. But I brought it up. I'm like, hey, love to have a conversation, but there's this kind of white elephant, whatever, black sheep, whatever you want to call it, sitting out in the middle that we need to clear up first. And this is where you start looking at how companies act and react. I've had to do that before, and they're like, well, no, everything's fine. Or in this case, it was like, huh. We know about that. Let's have a conversation. We would like to put our side forward. We would like to have an explanation. We would like you to make your own mind up, and we'll put our side forward, which is actually a fantastic way of approaching it. But saying all of that, perfect example. I'm at the point now, with very rare exceptions, that if I go look at your company and your board of directors and your senior leadership all look the same as me, the chances of us doing business are pretty much so zero. If you don't have diversity of thought, color, race, creed, orientation on your board or your senior leadership, probably not going to want to do business with you.
What other kind of factors go into that 50+% kind of let's is there a way to kind of like high level list it out more or less?
Yeah, I think there is. Part of it is what's the ethos of the company? So, you know, number one, can they actually fit what we want? You know, and you can find most of that out without even having to talk to somebody. And if you do have to talk to them, you can do it very, very carefully. This is where, you know, again, to plug Victoria and the stuff she's doing with Kaliti, I mean, that's a freaking amazing. For me, that's perfect because we have a bunch of projects. So, and I think this is where the sales cycle also doesn't understand it. My 2023 projects are laid out. End of conversation, done. Unless there's an exception to that rule, I already know what I'm focused on 2023. And if you don't fit into the model, I'm not going to be, but I don't need to talk with you until 2024. Are there exceptions? Always. Are there lots of exceptions? Hell no. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in my job doing my job properly. Mm-hmm. So there's and then I can go to Collidian, I can go to Victoria and say, hey, look, here's the 10 things I need you to go find for me. You know, I need you to find a project for this, or I need you to find some people for this. And so I use her and have been and will continue to use her as a barrier, to be perfectly honest, to most vendors. So if you want to do the vendoring and you want to talk to us, the chances are, for the most part, with some very rare exceptions, you're going to come in through Kaledi anyway. So I don't have to deal with, you know, I have a, let's say I need to solve mobile device management. There's 50 vendors out there that can do it. I'll go to Kaledi, I'll go to Victoria and her team and go, hey, look, this is what I'm looking for. These are the vendors I've already done research on. These are the ones I like. These are the ones that I don't want to go anywhere near with a freaking, you know, 12-foot barge pole. And then can you do me a favor and take a look at the rest? So she'll go out, anonymize us, and take a look at the rest of the vendors, come back and say, hey, here's three or four. Let's have a conversation, madam. We'll have a conversation. And then she'll introduce me to the two or three that we've decided are worthwhile working for. To me, that's perfect. I don't have to look at 50 vendors. I don't have to put myself out there. I deal with 100 different bloody inbound sales calls. I deal with two or three people. It saves me time. It saves me effort. I get actually more exposure to the market. We did some stuff with her recently. She found an absolutely fantastic vendor I'd never heard of. And I'm like, holy shit, this is exactly what we needed at the price that we needed it. So it's proved its worth right away.
Yeah.
So this is the other problem with all these inbound phone calls is and emails is y'all are actually barking up the wrong tree. I am no longer your customer. Victoria over at Kaledi is now your customer as far as I'm concerned. Now, maybe I will forward your info to her and get her to do it. But for the most part, wrong tree, wrong person.
And that, and then they're mapping all of your decision criteria to the vendor kind of form so that it's all automatically matching based on what you need. You don't have to,
It's fantastic. I mean, we go through it. You know, it's like, okay, you know, Project X, you know, where do you think the budget is? Who do you really want to talk to? What does it need to achieve? Where does it need to achieve? How does it need to fit in? You know, do we have to have single sign on? Do we have to have this? Where's the company? If they're having data, does it have to stay stateside? You know, and there's a list of criteria. So no, it's good for that. And again, it's, I think, because in most cases the vendor market is so saturated and is so just overwhelming. I mean, I'm getting hit up on email. I get hit up on telephone calls every now and again. I think most people have realized picking up the phone is probably not the smartest thing to do with me. And then LinkedIn, you know, LinkedIn's inbound mails are a challenge, and they're getting more and more and more. So again, you're asking for my time. Hi, we have a meeting next week or this week. Did y'all read just my headline? You don't even have to read any of the posts. Y'all just got to read the headline. Three sentences. That's it.
Yep. We talked about this last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago on episode 14. What are your thoughts on recent developments of AI, ML algorithms, products, and how it will impact the vendor-buyer relationship? That's a really good question.
Yeah. I just had an inbound spam. Yay. Where is it? There's my junk. Yeah, I just had one. Literally came in this morning, 6:51 this morning. What day next week works to discuss how our advanced artificial intelligence solution that was specifically built to help salespeople eliminate thousands of repetitive, time-consuming prospecting tasks, allowing them to focus on higher value, higher return sales activities like meetings with more interesting prospects and closing new businesses. I'm pretty sure they actually didn't target me correctly. We'll start with the easy one. But apparently there's a whole bunch more. Yeah, there's an interesting one here. Uniquely modeled after your salesperson's traits and Boom's brand. I mean, they've definitely done the insert name here. I don't think that Sallybot Success Manager is. Here's my problem. If your AI solution has picked me as the person to talk to about sales at Boom, your AI bot needs some more training.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that answers the question.
Yeah, it needs more love. We'll just go with that one. But there is a level of reality to it, I think, as well, is you would hope, and there's an emphasis on the word hope. Hope springs eternal and all that kind of good stuff. You would hope if you had an intelligence bot that said, I have a product and that product needs to target CIOs, the bot would go out, it would get the list of CIOs from wherever the hell they got the list of CIOs, and then it would start ranking them based off of public criteria, based off of business criteria, based off of social media, based off of feedback from other. I hope, I know there isn't, but I really do wish that there was a inside somewhere inside Salesforce. Somewhere inside Salesforce, I would really hope there was a centralized database of all people in technology. And somewhere there's a little line. I got one line in the database that says, approach this motherfucker cautiously. But there isn't. I mean, somebody inside sales needs to build that. There needs to be like a database of CISOs that you just don't want to touch.
Who so Anthony Johnson over at Delve Risk, he created basically a market research repository for all CISOs, I think in the United States, but maybe globally, definitely United North America. And there is a kind of personality profile, and that's based off of lots and lots of research that they've done. And that could be interesting to kind of, mention to him, maybe have that integrated within Salesforce and have maybe a line based off of all that data, like approach with caution or like le levels
Shit.
of like, again, that scale that we're
The
talking
pain
about,
scale,
right? The
yeah.
pain scale.
This CISO is gonna hurt you. You know, they're going to find you and they're going to carpet bomb you if you approach them incorrectly. You know, it's there we go. Yeah, there are companies like that. So yeah. And I think that's the thing. It's then so then why aren't people using them? So let's start with the easy one. Why aren't they in use? If they're there and if you can subscribe to them, why don't people do that?
Well, the problem is, in my experience, is that some reps, some AEs, some marketers don't regularly live within Salesforce. It's, those, there's so, first of all, there's so many fields implemented time and time again after like three, four, five rounds of field mapping and like section creations that at the end of the day are all broken. The CRM is a huge fucking mess. And there are 5 million and one fields that aren't either automated or manual, and the SLAs are not there, the processes are not there. And so everything is just a cluster within the CRM. And nobody knows where to look anymore. That's one. So there's information overload. Second is it's not, there's no process or governance on how to use the tool correctly. And so you're missing a lot of stuff. You can't, you're missing a lot of fields. You're missing a lot of data within the
So
fields.
garbage in, garbage out, basically. Yeah, that's welcome to big data, unfortunately. And that's, you know, and that seems to be, I mean, you know, we God, I mean, the volumes of data that we go through here are ridiculous. And I mean, I think that's one of the things that we're working on is like, how do you ensure effectiveness of the data? Yeah, because I had another one came in this morning. Hi, Chris. Hope you're staying healthy. I know you're busy and you get a lot of emails and messages, so this will only take 60 seconds to read. And I'm like, Roro, danger, danger. We are, and I can't even pronounce the name. It's like Excitem. I mean, that sounds like a freaking adult toy. Hello, I'm from Excitem. It's like, oh, run away. I don't get it. You know, I just, and they just keep coming on. AWS certs. If anybody would like an AWS certificate, boy, do I have the contacts for you. Another one, meeting request. You know, from the chief staffing operator. I just come on for crying out loud. You know, again, you want 60 seconds of my time? Take 60 seconds first.
Beautifully, but if beautifully said. live by the serum diaper.
Yeah, Ramon's right. I mean, it's absolutely. And I think that's that. Maybe that's part of the problem as well is, okay, you know, and actually, okay, so here's the other thing. Hang on, I'm trying to find the damn seat up thing. There we go. Here's the other thing. And I had a really, like a really, really good set of conversations this morning at some crazy hour of the morning. Who the hell was it and I were talking about? Yeah, so, Mark Lickie and I were talking this morning. Because when we're on this, for the most part, let's be honest, we kind of chew into sales and marketing. And we kind of take a bite out of their ass pretty much every single week. What we haven't done, and actually what we might want to take some time and have a conversation about, is the CISO themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What might be useful is to turn the tables, because Mark and I were talking about it. Mark asked me a really, really good question. And he was like, hey, I got a question about people in the security business, specifically the CISO. So I thought I'd ask, why do we have to take it on faith that the CISO is a really good guy?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful question, because there are enough asshole CISOs out there as well. And I think this is one of those really, really interesting things that we haven't tackled from the sales and marketing standpoint. And maybe we can do this next week, because I know we're getting close on time. But and maybe that is the topic for next week, is the asshole CISO. Is because not all CISOs are willing to give feedback. Not all CISOs are willing to be honest and have integrity. I know too many that spend too many evenings a week at dinner with vendors and really have no intentions of doing anything about it. Unfortunately, there are too many CISOs on the take, and the vendors don't know, I guess, how to deal with that. So it might actually be interesting to turn the tables and say, okay, let's talk about the rogue CISO. Let's give you 10 pointers for how to actually diagnose whether you've got a shitty CISO on the other end of the line, you know, so that you don't spend time, so that you don't actually waste your efforts, so that you don't get pissed off, so you don't get taken to dinner 16 times for no fucking reason at all, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think stuff... I think conversations like that would be, I think that would actually be a really, really good set of conversations.
Let's do it.
Yeah, maybe that we do that. And I'm happy to actually do a topic on that one as well. There we go. Actually, you could bring some sellers to share their experiences. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And actually what I might do is put a LinkedIn post or two out in the next 2 weeks, because it would be good to solicit some thoughts, ideas, and feedbacks. Yeah, not hiring. See, here's the problem. So not hiring the CISO is one thing. I think you can hire an amazing CISO that will still take advantage of companies. And I think that's maybe the problem I have with it. You know, they might be the best CISO under the planet, but they might still take a little bit too much of an advantage of too many vendors. You know, somebody hit me up the other day. We were trying to buy a product, or we're looking to potentially buy a product. And they're like, well, we go through these resellers. And I'm like, I wouldn't touch those resellers with a barge pole. What are my options? And there's blank silence. I'm like, you got to find a way, because there are vendors and resellers out there I will not touch. Mm. So I think it works both ways. So I like next week. Yeah, and it sounds like a bunch of other folks are on there. We cool. rightly criticize a lot of factors external to ourselves. That said, there's plenty of our opportunities. Yeah, that's right. I think it's like 10 things that CISOs need to change about themselves and 10 things that sales and marketing need to recognize in a bad CISO. Something like that. I like that. Let's do that.
All right. Got it. And we have, and if we have any volunteers to join us,
yeah. Let us get know. Your names in. Yeah, I think Maria's. Let's have a look.
Well, we could bring Maria on. Maria's always.
Yeah, Maria's awesome.
Always welcome. She's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, let's see if we can grab a couple of other things. Yeah, actually, somebody had an idea. The CRM data is a mess. Let AI do that. We tried that. My inbox is full of AI attempts that don't go right. I got people trying to sell me web services, users, the whole lot, salespeople.
I'm so sorry.
Again, garbage in, garbage out. I think that's my biggest problem. AI isn't going to sort something out if you don't continually teach AI what it's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who LinkedIn user I can join is. We have to figure that one out.
Brad.
April. Oh my god.
Brad,
Yeah.
Brad.
Okay, cool.
Brad Gorka. Yeah.
Get April in. That scares me. April live on this one scares me. She's awesome, but she scares me.
No, we'll okay, great. We have a lot of volunteers. I will reach out to each one of you. We'll set something up for 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Two weeks from now. Wow. Time
oh, hey,
is
where
flying.
I think
what's
I am
happening
going
in
to
two
be.
Weeks?
Yeah, I need to figure that one out because two weeks. Hang on. 1, 2, 20th. That's the day before I head to Boston. I am keynoting or doing something at Boston. Oh, actually, I'm hanging out with the National Guard. I'm going to have a ton of fun.
Just hanging out with the National Guard. That's it.
Yeah, I get to hang out with them. There's a bunch of fun folks coming from like Crystal and Pentagon-y type places. We're going to have some fun in the morning. I get to run around on stage in a kilt. And and then I think I get to keynote the conference in the afternoon. So we're going to have a shed ton load of fun.
Amazing. Amazing. Going to look forward to listening to how it went after the show. We are headed towards the end of the session. Anything else you want to impart on the audience today, Chris, before we sign off?
I think it's courteous. You know, it's the same thing we've said a couple of times. It's that be courteous. And it's said, you know, do unto others as you would want done unto you. The golden mm-hmm. rule, all those kind of good, silly things. It's that whole thing. It's like, you know, that person that you meet in the digital world, you might meet in the physical world one day, and do you really want to have the uncomfortable conversation? Or can you deal with it? But again, spend a minute to research. Mm-hmm. Like one. Do me a favor, just 1 minute. I'm not asking for 10 or 20. I'm just asking for 1 minute. Just read somebody's profile for 1 freaking minute before you reach out to them.
There you go.
You know, that's all.
Just echoing that. Don't be a schmuck.
Yeah.
You know, don't be a schmuck. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I have on my website, just like book a chemistry call. I don't want to work with schmucks anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I want to enjoy what I do. And I, you know, buyers and sellers want that same, mostly. Want that same experience.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's a good point. Most of us want to come out of these conversations at least feeling equitable. So you need to go in to the conversation the same way.
RSA meetup opportunity. Great question, Avi. Okay, so Chris convinced me that I have to be at RSA. So I am heading to RSA. Chris will be at RSA. What are we doing? We should do, first of all, a WTF live. We should definitely do a WTF live.
We should
live.
Probably do W. We have to figure out timing, but yeah, where the hell it is. It's at some point, isn't it?
I mean, I really don't like San Francisco, but you know.
You and I both. Okay. You and I both.
When we can do it? It's the 24th to the 27th or 25th to the 27th. That week.
What month?
Of April, excuse me. April. And
we actually don't have an official one on that week, so we could do a back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah,
one.
We could wiggle.
We'll figure it out. Yeah,
we could wiggle something in.
I like the idea. See if we do one.
Or we could do a WTF advocates meetup for those who join us every week, and
we
can
have
all
to,
like,
you know, we just
get together
find
and do
somewhere
something.
To be. Find somewhere to be. Just find somewhere. Grab some time in the morning, sit down, everybody sit down, have a coffee. Maybe we do live. Maybe we just hang out. I love the idea.
Yeah, you know, keep it super, super humble and like close-knit. And if anybody
Ooh.
Wants to come in.
Miller said it right. I love this one from Miller. The industry keeps straying away from the human element. There's still a person on the other side of the email phone. That's key. And I think that's also part of the reason why I don't want to name names, because they're still a human being and I don't need 40,000 followers pitchforking and torching most of the time. There's a few exceptions. You know, if you're with CloudStrike or Dark Trace or somebody like that, the chances are I'm probably going to pitchfork you, but you know, aside from
mm-hmm.
that, we should be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Whiskey meetup. Yeah, we'll figure it out. All right, we better go.
Yeah, we gotta go. We'll figure it out. We'll let everybody know. We're a month out, month and some out. Holy moly, we got to really figure hustle.
Scary. I'm in the UK. I got the UK. I'm doing one from the UK. I think I'm in the UK. The next one, I'm actually head before Boston. I think the following one, I'm in the UK. I'll actually be over in, I'll probably be up in Scotland for the next one. So it's gonna be some, yeah. Looking
Cool.
forward to that.
Yeah,
All
it's
right.
gonna be awesome. We have a busy schedule, but we're gonna make it happen. Love the feedback. Thank you everybody for joining. This has been another episode of WTF Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We will see you in 2 weeks. Look out for another post where we're gonna create the invite. Join us again. Love you all. We
Ripping on
are out.
CISOs. Take care, everybody. Stay safe.